It is time to go behind this steel curtain. Who do we do that with? We're going to visit with Brian Davis, who is with Behind the Steel Curtain, and a fine football analyst for CBS Sports Talk Radio, Gordy Sportswold, and more, the Lion Online, and he is one of our very good pride of Lions. Good to have you, Brian Davis.
It is great to be here, Coach Gordy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the Vine.
Should I be offering a moment of silence?
You know what? I mean, you could. There's a lot of people that are really depressed that the season's over because, you know, a lot of us were planning for a divisional game this week. Most of us were hoping it was going to be against the Buffalo Bills, and that is something that we aren't planning. Instead, the Ravens are, and the number two team in the AFC North and the number three team in the AFC North are all playing this weekend, while the number one team in the North is at home licking their wounds. So, yeah, I mean, you could go ahead and the end of the season is there's a little bit of a mourning period. Now, it's because football is our escape. That's why there's that period where you're like, all right, what do I do now? Because for me, when the Steelers are eliminated from the playoffs, winter starts. And the doldrums of winter, they get into full gear. But there's been a lot of Steeler news this week to talk about. But when you look at everything, Gordy, everything caught up to the Steelers. And the injuries caught up to them. And then the winning streak caught up to them that they started the season with. And they weren't really able to do much more.
Thank goodness the NHL and the Pittsburgh Penguins have started.
Yes, I know it didn't start too well for the Penguins the other night, but I'm glad to have them back.
How about those Flyers?
Well,
hey, look, and I got my own issues. I'm trying to bring some joy into my own life with what's going on with Philly, and really, Peterson only a part of this four-piece pie with Howie, Laurie, and Wentz, and of course we have Howie and Jeff Laurie who do not take blame for things that exist, and they should. So I've got my own issues, but we're not here to discuss that. That's another time, another place. We're going to look at your loss to Cleveland, 40-37, and then and just go over that briefly. And as you said, you've got a lot of news. You've lost an offensive coordinator. Of course, my own observation is this goes back to Mike Tomlin himself and the responsibilities, what happened with that game, and just overall, because I will say to Coach Gordy, he is not the guy that's going to lead you to the Super Bowl. He'll get you to the playoffs, but not the Super Bowl. And then also, you know who I'm referring to. We want to discuss another player passing, so go for it.
Well, when you look at the start of this game, it started off wrong, and they never caught up. When Marquise Pouncey snap sailed over Ben Roethlisberger's head, where there was confusion between Roethlisberger and James Conner on picking it up. I mean, I'm thinking, just kick him in the back of the end zone. Make that a safety. Come on, guys. I mean, there are. But that was just a really weird play, the way the whole thing set up. And it seems like they panicked. And they did not, they just threw their game plan out the window before they even got a chance to even open up the game plan. And they were down 7-0. Next thing you know, Ben throws the pick. Now they're down 14-0. But here's the thing. With all of the offensive woes that you're going to talk about, with all of the turnovers, the offense got back in the game in the second half, even though Cleveland kind of let them back in because they did not have to play as hard because they already had that much of a lead. But the defense was not able to do what they did all year. They surrendered touchdowns when they could have kept the Cleveland Browns to field goals. That didn't happen. Things could have changed. There were some calls that I did not like, and the two calls that I did not like were on 4th and 1. Well, actually, one wasn't a 4th and 1. But punting situations, the first time when you're at the 38-yard line, you're in the second quarter, it's 28-0, and you go ahead and punt instead of go for that first down. I thought that was a move that says, hey, we surrender already. If you move it a little bit and just get 3 out of it, you're in a lot better shape. The other decision to punt late in the third, early in the fourth, I believe, somewhere around there. You were down 12 at that point. It was fourth and one, and you don't go for it. They score on that. This game's over. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, there were chances to come back in that game. I don't know how great the chances were because, like I said, Cleveland were able to go into a prevent defense and not really worry too much about them coming back from 28 to nothing. But momentum was definitely on their side in the third quarter, and they squashed it themselves.
Let's get into news and so on, including what I said, another player passing.
Well, so when we're looking at news for the Steelers, everything happened yesterday as far as the coaching staff. And there's been talk about the GM, and there's been talk about the cap specialist, Omar Khan. Now, Omar Khan has been looking for jobs outside of the organization because he is definitely a top candidate to be a GM. He did not get the job in Carolina. He did not get the job in Detroit. There was a lot of thought that Kevin Colbert, who is a year-to-year guy, was going to be going to Detroit as well. That is not going to happen, so it looks like both of those guys are still going to be within the organization. You got to give a lot of credit to those guys because nobody manages a cap better than Omar Khan. And Kevin Colbert, with the draft that he had last year, one of his, I believe, his 20th draft with the Steelers, was absolutely phenomenal once again. Omar Khan might be the future general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he's going to be a general manager somewhere. So that all basically settled down yesterday. But the big news that happened was the fact that my scapegoat for a lot of the team's problems has been scheme, and it's been Randy Feitner. Randy Feitner was not fired, but he just did not have his contract renewed. The other two guys that did not have their contracts renewed were Tom Bradley. I know a lot of people know that name for all the days at Penn State. He is a defensive back coach. And Sean Surrett, who is the offensive line coach. There were a lot of problems with the Steelers' offensive line in the 2 years since Mike Munchak left. Surrett was the assistant under Munchak. He's been holding down the fort, but there were a lot of problems with the running game. Munchak was the running game coordinator. It did not work out under Surrett, so those two are no longer employed with the Steelers as well. That's where you really want to look at as far as upgrades go. Who are they going to bring in, especially at the offensive coordinator position? A lot of people think it might be Matt Canada. Here's the thing. Matt Canada was in Miami yesterday to interview for their offensive coordinator position. If the Steelers want Matt Canada enough, all they have to do is offer him the job before he goes somewhere else. But they just have to decide what they want to do. So that is something that will be determined as well. So as far as the coaching staff goes, Keith Butler is on a year-to-year contract as the defensive coordinator of the team. The defense was absolutely phenomenal most of the year. They did not play well but in the playoffs, and that greatly hurt the team. But that's not a reason to remove him from his position. What he's done the last 2 years in leading the Steelers defense, leading most of the league in most categories, you know, has been really good. As far as Mike Tomlin, he's still under contract, and, you know, there are a lot of people that feel the same way, that maybe he's just a playoff coach. I don't think anybody could have held the team together the way that Mike Tomlin did in 2019 better than what he did, and I still think that he is a Super Bowl caliber coach, but I think the things are shortening as far as patience. With Mike Tomlin, the first step in any situation is to relieve a lot of coaches, and that's exactly what they did. They lost another coach, having James Daniel, the tight end coach, retiring as well. So they are going to right now be replacing six coaches. They could be replacing up to eight coaches because Terrell Austin, the assistant defensive coordinator and the secondary coach, is interviewing in Tennessee for their defensive coordinator position. So there's a lot of guys that could be replaced. But usually, before you go after your head coach, you go after the staff first. And if you can't turn it around, then that's when you start looking at making decisions. And Pittsburgh is following that playbook page for page.
Brian, let's finish now. As I said, a player passed away. This would have been fullback Tim Lester at the age of 52 recently, and this would have been COVID-related.
Yes, it was. Age 52. Tim Lester was a great advocate for youth in the Atlanta area. He was a player that I don't think that he had 100 yards rushing in his career, but in Pittsburgh, he played on that Super Bowl team. But the year after the Super Bowl, Jerome Bettis came to town. And Jerome Bettis and Tim Lester played together in Los Angeles for the Rams. They've never played together in St. Louis. Only Bettis played there. But when he came there, Lester had a lot to do with Bettis' great success. He was known as the bus driver. And he opened so many holes. They used him as a traditional fullback. And he was so valuable to that team. He was a well-liked member of that team. And I got to tell you, Tim Lester, this is a great loss. Many blessings to his family. We lost somebody else from that 1995 Super Bowl team as well in Kevin Green a couple weeks ago. Losing Tim Lester, it's not a name that a lot of people know, but if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, the minute you heard that name, you knew it was number 34, you knew it was the bus driver, and it was a huge loss.
Thanks for sharing that detail concerning Bettis and exactly what Lester did for him. It has been a pleasure having you, and we'll see what happens. You did a good job of describing, particularly the case of the Pittsburgh Steelers, as they don't like to change coaches. They're going to give Tomlin a lot of rope here, but generally, this is the start of the end if it does not turn around.
It is, and there's 2021 is a crucial year for Tomlin and the Steelers because the window with Ben Roethlisberger is definitely very close to being closed. There might be one more year. There might be no more year. You never know what's going to happen with number seven in the next couple weeks, next couple months. But there's not a lot of cap room. But I talked about Omar Khan earlier, and if anybody's going to find money in the couch cushions, Omar Khan can. So we are going to see exactly what happens with all these free agents. And it could be a very good year in 2021, or it could be starting over.
Brian Davis, we will inform you for your tummy. It is National Strawberry Ice Cream Day. Anything for you?
Oh, my gosh. I would go crazy with strawberry ice cream. You put a little bit of chocolate in strawberry ice cream, too. Even crazier, the whole chocolate-covered strawberry thing. I love stuff like that, but give me a strawberry milkshake or just plain strawberry ice cream with a little bit of strawberry chunks. Oh, that's heaven.
This is your day. Well, your trivia question, where does strawberry ice cream rank in the top 10 as a favorite flavor? Where does it rank in the top 10?
I'd have to say number 4.
I'm sorry.
Where does it rank?
Number 8.
Wow.
You enjoy your strawberry ice cream. Don't take that one hard. You've got enough issues with the Steelers. Take care, Brian.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.